Hello, I'm Rob Limbury.
And I'm David Bond.
And we're talking about AI ops.
Really interesting topic, this. So, what is AI ops? Well, broadly, it's artificial intelligence in IT operations. But it means lots of different things to different people. Give us some of the definitions in your mind, Rob.
So I've been working in AI ops for 10 years or so, and largely from the position of monitoring and sending alerts. So AI ops has changed its definition, I think, recently as the new wave of LLMs have hit the market. We think about AI now as a new idea. But AI ops has often and historically included a whole bunch of other AI, things like machine learning, trying to understand what's happening historically.
So that might be that a disk fills up, CPU suddenly becomes saturated, and the user experiences a degradation in service. The service stops working is the extreme case. But quite often it's just that the service slows down, stops responding, starts generating error messages as it starts to hit the limits of the IT infrastructure supporting it.
There's a piece of AI, which we mean LLM, and there's a piece of AI which we're talking about something else. So what are those other things, Dave?
There are quite a few things under that term. We've got anomaly detection. So this is where you might have a graph that's showing you a CPU absolutely sticking at 5%, and all of a sudden you get a little peak up to 20%, and that might be an anomaly. The concept of a trending metric. So that may be disk utilization is currently at 40%, it's normally at 40%, but if cleanup isn't happening, that might go 50, 60, 70, and that again would be a trend that would tell you that an issue would be occurring. And AI can help identify that trend in a sea of metrics. We've got the ability to determine why something is happening. So let's say you see a degradation in service, but before you see that degradation, there were a number of alerts relating to network utilization. Well, maybe that was the root cause. Having the AI help you with remediation. Sometimes these things are called bots, or self-healing is a term I really like. And that's where AI can help you determine the best course of action and even execute that action itself. And then finally, general noise reduction. So this is where AI can spot all the duplicates and just pinpoint exactly where your attention should be spent.
I'd like to pick up on this idea of creating a bot or an automation bot to do these things. There's going to be an alert in the future because your disk is filling up. It's not a problem now. It wouldn't generate an alert. It wouldn't cause an incident. But predictive analytics is a big part of it. And I think at AI ops is all around reducing the amount of manual time it takes to manage a system. And it's all based on data.
So an important question for people considering whether to invest in AI ops, is it all really just marketing hype? Is there something genuinely here?
There's definitely some benefit here. However, there's definitely an awful lot of marketing hype.
In the past, we've had various things labelled as AI ops. We've had machine learning, we've had correlation engines, we've now got large language models.
So I have a theory about AI, Dave. And my view is actually we need to have an IQ rating for AI. So, if you think back, Pac-Man was AI.
Yeah.
Why was it AI? Because Pink, what were they called, Bluey and Pinky, they'd follow you around the screen.
Clyde was the other one.
Clyde. They were intelligently reacting to your position on the screen as Pac-Man. Now, you would say, okay, if that's AI, it's got an IQ rating of 1, perhaps. And then let's say that, you know, Skynet has got a rating of 100. I think the machine learning pieces that we have in AI ops right now are not very intelligent.
Could they have been? I think this has been a wasted opportunity, actually. I think the industry could have packaged machine learning a lot better. I think correlation and predictive analytics could have been what it promised to be, and it never was. I don't know why. Some of these newer models have the equivalent response to a PhD in every topic in the world. I think that's an interesting comparison. It's not to say it's got an IQ. You give it a chessboard, it's got no hope, despite there being very, very good expert systems for chess. LLMs are terrible at playing chess. It's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? I like the idea of IQ as a measure because it implies a direct comparison with a human. But there are some things that LLMs are still terrible at.
And typically that's been dealing with data. So LLMs are large language models. They've not been optimized for dealing with data, with numbers and with streams of data. LLMs are good at text. And what we're talking about with correlation and machine learning, that's something very different. It's not had that breakthrough moment that we've seen with LLMs in recent times.
And I think it should have done. I think the problem is it's very easy to type 5 paragraphs and give it to an LLM and get a very considered and thoughtful response. But it's very difficult to set up a machine learning system and feed it gigabytes of data. That's not something that's within the skill set of your typical operations group, whereas anyone can just go onto ChatGPT and get an instant response.
So I'm not so convinced that machine learning is a good use of resources at this point.
When you say resources, do you mean people, time, effort?
People. Yeah. So I think the danger of false positives outweighs the benefit. And I think the amount of engineering time in creating a machine learning is highly questionable.
I really think that's a packaging issue. If a company spent some effort in packaging a machine learning system that operated on a known large data set, I think that would still be very valuable to help drive correlation engines.
But what's the value of fully automating that versus presenting that analytic data to an engineer?
Yeah. Every MSP will have its guru that they know they can take a whole series of seemingly uncorrelated events to, present them to them, and they will instantly go, root cause is this, because they've seen it before. So in that case, I agree, there's little point for infrequent events having an AI do that. However, if you look at your apprentices, your tier one brand new engineers who've never seen any of these types of alerts before, having an AI assist them in getting an initial analysis given a certain knowledge base, I think that's very valuable investment.
An AI ops tool will never replace a highly skilled engineer. They'll be able to ask questions of the documentation, of the customer, to be able to determine what correlates and what doesn't correlate. Trying to replace that level of engineering just introduces risk. If a machine learning algorithm writes the rules and gets it wrong, who's responsible for correcting that?
It can't see an event, not recognize it, and make a phone call and talk to the customer and say, we're seeing this kind of thing. Have you made any changes recently? So it can have huge value in triage. When it comes to a tier two or a tier three investigation, it's just not there yet. I mean, maybe one day you'll get a phone call from an AI saying, have you just unplugged the cable? But really, that is the domain still of humans.
I don't think you'll ever replace a human at the heart of a managed service provider. And I think the idea that you'll be able to fully automate the entire process is fallacy. Essentially a robot-driven business, which I don't think will exist, because I think you'll need people to define the rules, define the parameters for the bot to do its job. So let's make that assertion that AI ops is not going to replace the job of a high-end engineer, but I think that it can augment the capabilities of that engineer so they'll be able to do more. They'll be able to additionally support the less skilled engineers to do more with the information that they've got.
One area where AI can really assist, though, and even replace humans, is in highly repetitious tasks. When you have an alert for which the response will always be reboot the server, why not get a bot to do it? So when operations detects a given issue that has a known remedy, sure, self-heal. What I'm very dubious of is where there is any kind of variety, because it'll just interpret something incorrectly. And under no change control as well, that's a very dangerous place to be. So why is AI ops particularly relevant for managed service providers?
Managed service providers are under increasing pressure to deliver value for money. They need to deliver efficiently, and they need to have good levels of productivity in their team, and they need to be consistently delivering excellent service levels.
The reason for introducing robots into car production lines is about consistently having exactly the same result every single time. And if there's something wrong with the result, you can codify the improvements and then it'll be consistently improved thereafter. So the advantage of having AI is to add a little bit of flexibility into that automation. IT operations is continual response to events, and the events aren't predictable. That's why operations are there. So the advantage that AI brings to what should otherwise be a highly automated process is that little bit of flexibility, the ability to respond to changes in the nature of the incoming events, and to make similarly automated decisions, but with a little bit of flex as to how to respond, whether that be by assigning the right tickets to the right queues for remedy, or by being a bit flexible in deciding whether an automated response and self-healing is applicable, or whether this is too high a risk and to pass it to tier two. AI is bringing flexibility to the automation. Are there any other places that we think that AI is going to help operations departments? Maybe not so much related to tickets and day-to-day operations. How about in helping writing documentation?
I mean, that's classically where LLM would fit. It's a productivity improvement tool. It would help you write documentation. It could help you write scripts. It can help you with any of those things that are text-orientated. Absolutely use them. They're very easy to access at the moment. That then leads us to this next question, Dave, which is there a sensible pathway for MSPs to follow without breaking the bank or taking on too much?
Are you successfully identifying areas where automation could assist? If you're not doing that, you're going to miss all of the opportunities. Look for the opportunities, identify where automation could help, then decide where you've got very simplistic rule-based approaches and those things that can't simply be scripted and need large language model or machine learning input. Should the AI be in line and processing events as they come through, or should it be done retrospectively? So you don't necessarily want to prevent an alert being converted into an incident, but what you might want to do is look back through some history and say, these two incidents can be collapsed into one. This incident isn't worth your engineers investigating. So I think the pathway to follow is, are we looking for opportunities for automation? Where we do find them, is it rules-based or is it large language model or similar fuzzy logic? And then is the implementation worth it? Because it might be that actually the cost of implementation far exceeds the cost of running a team of tier one engineers instead. What do you think the right price is to pay for?
That's a great question. I had one of our customers came to me and they said they'd been touted an AI offering for more than their EBITDA.
I mean, that's clearly insane. But some salesperson's dream, right? I mean,
some salesperson's dream dreamt of a number and put it on the table. Yeah. So what is the right amount to pay? Well, for me, you have to break down the value into these four components. So what's the value for deduplication tickets? What's the value for augmentation of tickets with AI simplification? What's the value of then enriching the tickets? And what's the value of taking some kind of auto remediation?
And these things can be quite easily measured, right? If you can determine with a bit of old-fashioned time and motion analysis how much time your engineers are spending on particular quantifiable tasks, then see if those things can be automated and see where AI can assist. And there, the return on investment should be relatively clear. It's either worth investing or it's not. And it comes down to how much engineering time can you save multiplied by the engineer's salary.
That's one element of it. The other element of it is, what's the improvement in service quality? Measuring that value is probably going to be more aligned to things like customer retention, growth rates, etc. So what is the right price to pay? I think you break it down into the four areas. I think when you look at deduplicating tickets, you ask yourself, how many hours can I save a month? When I look at ticket simplification, it's the same question. How does it make the job easier and save time every month? The ticket enrichment is the same thing, but perhaps a little bit further down the line. How much more efficient am I making my team by automating the right data to be present at the right time?
Let's review today's findings then. AI ops, good or bad? Let's be completely reductive.
You like a binary, don't you?
Ones and zeros, it's much easier to deal with.
I think AI ops is absolutely a force for good. I think the challenge that we're seeing in the industry is vendor-led definitions about AI ops and the value attached to that compared with MSP-led value definitions. I think that there's a big split there.
Yes.
But follow your own process, don't follow anyone else's. And then you have this huge question of how do you maintain your knowledge base, because that ends up being the big differentiator to your business.
Having it learn from your past experiences, bringing in your knowledge base, feeding that to the AI and letting it use that as part of its decision-making process. We see some really good reasoning LLM starting to come through. The thing that interests me is how can we feed the wiki or the operational procedures or any guidance that's given to the engineers into the model so that it can take all of those benefits from your organization's historic learnings into account when helping you make decisions.
And in that way, the knowledge base ends up being one of the big value adds that you can build into your business.
The AI won't forget the huge knowledge base. It's very difficult for an engineer to hold every single aspect of the knowledge base in their brain at once, whereas AI can do that potentially. This is where AI can bring some real benefits. You've got a ticket, but AI might do some offline analysis of the knowledge base and apply that knowledge base to the ticket after the ticket's been created.
To summarise, what are our findings and where does AI fit within ops?
We cautiously agree that it is something that is worth investing in, where you can determine yourselves that there is an operational benefit to doing so. It has got some advantages over humans in areas of knowledge retention and application to incidents and tickets. It's got some fantastic capabilities for machine learning correlation to ensure that tickets are grouped together and thereby reduced. And you can do some predictive analysis. I think there's a risk that it's being hyped at the minute by vendors. We are very much at the top of the hype curve right now. I think reality is going to start to kick in as people do or don't see return on their investments. So if you haven't invested yet, do it cautiously. But it is definitely something that you should have someone looking at and seeing where it's most appropriate for your business.
One of the things that fascinates me is where will this AI thing land? Where are we going to end up with it?
Terminator, The Matrix. What's the worst case scenario?
Or the best case scenario? And if Pac-Man was level 1 IQ, yep, and Terminator was level 100, where do we think we are right now?
Oh, I think we're still early days before it kills us.
Oh, well, that's a relief. Which will come first, the sun exploding or getting to 100?
Mate, we'll be long gone.